It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Hope everyone had a tremendous New Year's. I'm so privileged this morning to have my new friend, Steve Alford, from Roxbury, who's been giving back through the Roxbury Rotary Club for over 20 years, and had a chance to meet him this morning. He's incredible, and I think we're going to really enjoy this show. Before we talk about the great works of Stephen, I just want to have a brief moment of silence. I live in Mendham, and we've been rocked recently. There were two young men, Matt LaRose and William Thomas, who sadly took their lives, and I know the community is heartbroken over it, and I just wanted to give my heartfelt sympathies to the families and friends who have been touched by these tragedies. When I heard about it, I immediately reached out to some folks to see what we could do to really talk about this in a way that really helped the community heal and also do our best to prevent these senseless tragedies. And God bless these young men who are now no longer with us and their families, but know that we really do care about them, and God bless them. Stephen, good morning. I just wanted to, you know, I know we were talking a little bit about the community and how important it is to you. And I started the show, you know, you were asking me a little bit about why I started the show. It's really to talk about wonderful people like yourself, people that give back, people that know how important it is to lend a hand up and to be part of the community and to do their very best to make it as good as it can for all of us together. And when I was reaching out into the community to find out, you know, who might be a fit for the show, I spoke to my accountant, Nick Sarinelli, a great friend. I know he's a great friend of yours, and he's my accountant with Nisavaccia Group LLP right here in Mount Arlington. And he said, you got to get Stephen on. I mean, the guy does it all. And I did a little research. I'm like, I can't believe it. Yeah, let's get Stephen on. So good morning, Stephen. It's a real pleasure to have you on this morning.
Good morning, Todd. Thanks for having me on. It's going to be a cool experience.
Yeah, I think it will indeed, sir. It will indeed. So why don't you, if you can, Steve, since, you know, folks should know a little bit about your background, because one of the things I love to explore with my guests, which is, you know, how it all started, you know, where you're from and basically what lit the fire deep down inside to start to give back. So if you don't mind, we don't have to get too personal. This isn't like a deposition. Don't get nervous. I said, Steve, you know, I'm a trial lawyer, but this is going to be hopefully certainly not adversarial. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're born and raised, and, you know, a little bit about your family life.
Sure. I was born and raised in Randolph, New Jersey, a little section called Ironia. My father passed away when I was 12. I have two brothers, Ronnie and Danny. Grew up in Randolph. It was an awesome place to grow up. My father was a fire chief in town. That was really cool, all those pancake breakfasts. And hearing him race out of the house at all hours of the night, I remember that distinctly. And then I got married to a lovely woman named Tammy. She's my wife. I have three gorgeous kids, Alex, Tyler, and Nikki. And we did what a lot of Randolph people do. We settled in Roxbury, New Jersey. It's real close to Randolph and just a lot less expensive.
Right. You know, you brought up, and I'm sorry to hear about the passing of your dad at such a young age. I'm sure that obviously changes the trajectory of your life in many different ways. You mentioned you have some children, and which is beyond a blessing, I'm sure, for you. Any of your kids, are they involved in doing anything for the community?
Well, sure. Well, right off the bat, my son knew he wanted to be a cop, so he went off to college at Penn State, and he finally landed a job with the Morris County Parks Department. And I know he wanted to be a cop because he wanted to serve. He wanted to give back a little bit. I'm sure the stuff I do rubs off on them a little bit. My daughter, Nikki, who goes to Penn State University, was very involved with THON. Are you familiar with THON?
No, I'm not.
THON is like the largest philanthropic event of any college in the country. They raise money for pediatric cancer, the Four Diamonds Network. I think last year they raised $10 million. It's run by the Greek Council, sororities and fraternities, and they sponsor children. And there's a three-day dance event at the Bryce Jordan Center. It's amazing. And if you talk to her about it, she usually will cry how touching it was.
Wonderful. I mean, that's incredible. You mentioned what your late father also was involved in giving back and doing a lot of great stuff to help others.
You know, I think it was more just the way the time was back then. That's when you would see neighbors helping, you know, helping a guy stuck with his car in the snow. You'd look out and there'd be five fathers out there helping pushing him up the street. It was just a closer network back then. Everybody kind of knew what everybody was going through. You know, if somebody passed away in the neighborhood, every single person in the neighborhood brought over a casserole. There's some of that now, but I think we've lost some of that. It isn't quite as tight-knit, like where the whole neighborhood knows each other and they do things together. And it was just more of a vibe back then that really stuck with me.
Yeah, I have a question about that because, you know, I do agree. I mean, we were both joking. You look great for your age since I'm 56 and you share with me you're 56. So I keep up your workout regimen or whatever you're doing. It's certainly working. But the concept of your neighbors, knowing your neighbors, you know, I had the Interfaith Food Pantry on, and one of their mottos is neighbors helping neighbors, which I think is a wonderful concept. And one of the things, you know, that I'm trying to do with the show is to bring the community together and not to be nostalgic, but I think you're probably right. Everybody I knew growing up, we knew our neighbors. You know, it was just that type of feel. Any thoughts about that and perhaps what we could do maybe to help bring that kind of sense of the neighborhood back?
Yeah, I have some real big thoughts on that, actually, and it's kind of my it's my running theme of who I am today and who I like to be and who I want to strive to be. You just got to be friendly. I have neighbors to my left and to my right. I live on a main road in Roxbury on Eland Avenue. Neighbors to my right, you know, they're just far enough away where we can't yell to each other. And I had new neighbors move into my left about 3 years ago, the Castros. And I literally forced myself on them because I wanted to have a great relationship with my neighbors. And I don't know if I hadn't been so overtly friendly, if we would have gotten as close as quickly or as close at all. I think you just need to be friendly with your neighbors and they'll be friendly back. And if you're not friendly with them and you don't go out of your way, you may never form a special relationship with them. I think if people are just friendly, then everything just works out.
Yeah, I know we were talking also about the D'Amico family. You know, we're talking about the Kindness for Christopher movement, which I think is extraordinary. And I know you're blessed to know the family very, very close with those beautiful, you know, individuals. And this whole idea, I know you mentioned being friendly, but I'm sure kindness is right there with that.
Well, okay, so I think certain people are attracted to certain people, right? I think kindness attracts kindness. So if you're just sincerely kind in your heart, kind people will find you and you'll find kind people. I'm really tight with the D'Amicos. I love them to death. We would have never met even with the tragedy they went through. I might have just been like, "Hey, sorry to hear that." But I know they're kind. You know, I could tell right away and I think I'm kind. And because of that, I think we formed a real special bond. And I think a lot of people do want to be kind. They are kind. They just don't have avenues to show it or express it.
Right, and that's something, too. I mean, one of the important things of the show, whatever this can do to help the community, is to spread the gospel you just touched on, which is being good to each other, being kind, helping out. I do agree, if you're kind to people, somehow you not only attract other kind people, but I think also the good Lord, God, I think those things happen for you in probably a positive way. At least that's how I try to live my life. I figure if I do good, hopefully good things will happen for me. But if nothing else, I'm doing good in the process and helping the community because we all could use a helping hand up. In terms of, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I was joking with you before we started. My knowledge of the Rotary Club is extremely limited. I remember I grew up in Springfield and the Rotary Club actually sponsored one of my baseball teams, so I had the Rotary Club on our jerseys. But if you can, Steve, tell us a little bit about, because I know how much you love and you're so committed to the Rotary Club. In fact, you were telling me you're in your fifth term as president, so we're going to explore that as well. What's the Rotary Club about?
Well, let's dispel a myth right away. It's not a bunch of 80-year-old men sitting around in suits and ties anymore. It's men, women. It's now retired people. Rotary is a worldwide organization with 1.2 million members. I can tell you as I'm sitting across from you that Rotary completely changed my life for the better. I would not, none of this stuff would have happened to me that I've been involved in without Rotary. You get to work side by side with people. Raising money for local charities, worldwide charities. You know, Rotary's main mission is to eradicate the world of polio. We've partnered with Bill and Melinda Gates. They give us $2 for every dollar we raise. I think we've raised $2 billion to date to eradicate the world of polio, and it's pretty much gone. There's only, I think there's only something like 56 cases last year. And polio can wipe out an entire community as it did back in the day. Rotary's great, though. You get to meet people. You work side by side with people. You have, we meet every Thursday at La Strada restaurant in Randolph, New Jersey from 12:15 to 1:30. But to become a member anymore, you don't have to come to every meeting. You got to come to at least one a month. But if you're really into it, you find yourself, you don't want to miss a meeting, so you go every week. We have a speaker every week. We try to get it on topics. We just had the two detectives from the Roxbury Police Department in a couple weeks ago talking about all the car thefts in town and how you can protect yourself. It's just an amazing organization. All we do is do fundraisers.
Yeah, no, I was blown away when I started to learn more about the true mission of the Rotary Club. How many members are there currently in the Roxbury part of?
We have 32 members. I'm also the membership chair, so I'm always looking to grow the club, trying to bring a lot of younger people into it. They have new ideas. They have different causes they're passionate about. It's just unbelievable to be at the meeting. We have a real fun meeting. We bust each other a lot. It's fun. We do fines at every meeting. Everyone gets fined. We there's a judge, and we take that money. Like, we built the gazebo in the peninsula of Horseshoe Lake. That was all built with fine money. Just a wonderful time.
Right. And you talked a little bit about, obviously, it sounds like an incredible bunch of folks giving back. During the show, if someone, you know, wants to be involved with the Roxbury Rotary Club and or something about what we're talking about today resonates, which hopefully it will, how would they reach out to you?
Well, they can do it one of two ways. You can simply show up at any meeting at Thursday, ask for Steve Alford. You're our guest for that meeting. You don't pay for lunch. Just sit back and enjoy it. Or we have a Rotary Facebook page, Roxbury Rotary Club. You can go on there. You can ask a question for more information. That's really the two easiest ways.
Yeah. One of the things that I didn't touch upon, Steve, which is important, because I realize not only are you giving back doing your amazing work through the Roxbury Rotary Club, but what kind of work are you in? What do you do for a living?
I'm a financial advisor.
Are you with an outfit?
Yeah, Northeast Financial Services down in Cranford, New Jersey.
And how long have you been doing that?
I just hit my 18th year.
Okay. You enjoy it?
I love it. I'm a financial advisor, but I concentrate on the life insurance side, the protection side. I consider myself an advocate for children. Everything I do actually is geared towards children. And I think that me personally, I think that parents have an obligation to protect those, you know, the people in their family. And if, God forbid, something happens to them, the family should be prepared to deal with that. And I think that's an obligation that people have. And I try to bring that conversation to the forefront. And we have that conversation, and I think anybody has the ability to get some sort of life insurance. And I'm a protection-first advisor.
That sounds like it's really important. I mean, obviously, families need to protect themselves and protect their family in the future. God forbid there's a tragic event. In terms of your idea of giving back, and I always want to explore this with my guests. It's a privilege, obviously, to have you on this morning. And I don't want to get too introspective, but any idea what was the catalyst? How did it start where all of a sudden, you know, it just hit a chord in you? I want to start doing something nice, being kind, friendly. Any idea?
Sure. So can I share with you how I joined the Rotary Club?
Please.
I had moved to the town of Roxbury, just got married. We lived in Bedminster, so I already had two kids. We were just at our third. And I was walking through the old Ledgewood Mall. And the civic groups in town were having like a civic day. Each club had a table set up. And this gentleman by the name of Don Schuld had called me over and to talk about the Rotary Club. And I was looking to get involved in the community. I'd only been here like 2 years. And he told me about Rotary. And I'd also just sold my limo business. It was right after 9/11. And that thing was no longer going to be. So I agreed to come to a meeting. And he also happened to work for the company that I work for now. And he thought I was very friendly, and he said, "Hey, why don't you know, what are you doing for work?" I said, "I just sold my company." He said, "Well, how about I get you an interview with my company?" So at the same time, I started my financial advisor career and joined Rotary. But in that first year, he was kind of my mentor. He was my mentor. He was named Businessman of the Year for the Roxbury Chamber of Commerce. And he asked me to come. He called me Junior. So that gives you some idea of his age. But he's awesome. And he gave this speech, and he ended it with five words that drive my life. If not us, then who? Now, I got to be honest. I really didn't know what he meant by that at all. It took me a while. It took me at least a year and a half. And I got into Rotary. And even when I joined Rotary, I'm like, well, I'm going into financial services. This probably would be good for my business. And it just became so much more than that. But I struggled with what did he mean, you know, if not us, then who? And then it took a while when it dawned on me that what he really meant was, if we don't step up to do something, if I don't step up to do something, is anyone else going to? And then I just kind of became, the word addicted is a little strong, but I became addicted to helping others in any way, shape, or form, small and big. And I also got really good at finding people that wanted to help, maybe didn't have all the time that I was willing to put into it, and I was able to connect a lot of really good people. And I met this guy, Keith Teague. He owns PJ's Auto Body in Roxbury. I must have met him because I needed some work done on the car. And he was just a real solid dude. And he was like, hey, if you ever know anything that needs to be done in town, you know, let me know. I'd like to help. And I met a few other people like that. So now I had five people that were very like-minded, and those people had money. And we were able to start doing some amazing things. Like, for example, I noticed Roxbury hadn't had fireworks in like 17 years. And I went to the rec director and I said, why don't we have fireworks? Every other town does. Randolph does. He said, there's no money in the budget for it. And I said, so it's just money? Yeah, it's just money. So I got these five guys together. And for the last 8 years, we have something called the Beach Blast in Roxbury. We have free fireworks. The Roxbury PBA donates all the bounce houses. And there's thousands and thousands of people show up at that event. And it's all free. And it's because of guys like Keith Teague.
Right. I was reading also, you've been really active with the Roxbury Little League. What was that?
That was awesome. So me and a bunch of friends, our kids hit that age where they were just starting to play Little League. And we decided to go to a meeting just to check it out. There was like six of us, and it happened to be the meeting where they were electing officers for the next year. And we kind of looked at each other and said, this could be fun. And we all got elected. So I was vice president. And there's a park in Roxbury called Kiwanis Park. It had one lighted field. This is back when Williamsport was really, really big. And we were able to build a snack stand there. We were able to build a second lighted field, which was wild because we had to order the lights from Musco. They came in by tractor trailer. And this is an example of how cool people can be. Especially in a town like Roxbury, which I consider basically gray collar. We had an endless supply of electricians, plumbers, a crane guy. We were able to do it all ourselves, save thousands of dollars. And we had the only fields in all of Morris County that had two lighted fields side by side. So for several years, we ran all of Williamsport. And it was awesome. And that field still stands there today. And it's robust and it's buzzing with activity. It's no longer Little League. I think it's Cal Ripken. But it's just to be able to drive by it and see it is just awesome.
Amazing. I brought up a little bit about Little League. I remember playing back in Springfield under the lights by the Springfield pool, and it was really an amazing experience as a young kid. I mean, it was like I thought I was in the majors. Obviously, I wasn't, but it was a great feeling. And that's a blessing that you're able to, you know, get a lot of great people together and do something really important, which to this day carries on. In terms, I know we touched on it, you're in your fifth term as president of the Roxbury Rotary Club. Now, how many years you've been involved with the club itself?
18.
Right. So, and that's a long time. That's a big commitment. How long is the term of presidency with the club?
It's 1 year. It's June 1st to it's June 1st till the next July. And I am in my fifth year as president. And actually, I got to be honest with you. I mean, I like being president of the club. I volunteer for everything anyway. And I'd rather just have my hand in it, and I find it to be very easy. And it's awesome to be able to look like, you mentioned Nick Serinelli, to be able to be in that position. And Nick's a very, very successful human being, very busy partner at that firm. And I'm able to say, hey, Nick, I need you to run Suck a Sunny Day this year. Okay, Steve. It's just awesome.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. I know we were talking also before we started about the 200 Club of Morris County, which I know we both love, and incredible devotion and commitment to the first responder community. We obviously can't say enough thank yous, and God bless the men and women who serve us so ably, you know, any time, day or night. I mean, you talk about people giving back, and certainly I think the 200 Club's wonderful, and you come in contact with some incredible folks in that process. And this was something that I'm always fascinated about, because I know we're talking about the Nisavachi as, you know, great people as well, Sweet Lou and Ray, and with you, the balancing, you know, you obviously have a wonderful family, you have a commitment with your work, you got to pay the bills, everybody does, but you also find time to do these wonderful things. How do you think you do that?
I actually think I have a problem. I'm the guy, like a lot of people, you know, we have a shop right in town. Every weekend there's some organization collecting money for something. I can't walk by them. If I could, I'd give away half of every dollar I make. I love to walk up to a Girl Scout selling cookies at the table and buy all the contents on the table, which I've done many times in the past, and to see their look of complete shock on their face. Although I tell them I refuse to buy anything unless you're going to pitch me. Tell me why you're trying to sell these cookies. I mean, I'm not just going to buy them because they're there. I don't know. I don't know, Todd. I don't know what it is about me. I literally can't say no. I just got a call. Last week. They do at Lincoln Roosevelt School in town every Valentine's Day. They do a Valentine's Day lunch for 150 seniors. I've been asked in the past to help coordinate people to raise money for it. I think last year they tried to do it themselves and it didn't work. And I just got an email from the principal saying, "Hey, I need you, man. You gotta raise enough money to have the diner, Roxbury Diner, that's a family you need to have on here. The Dantas family, they're so giving. So now I have to get some people together, get a price from the diner, and we'll do that. Is it a pain in the butt a little bit? Yeah, but I know it's going to make those people so happy. So it just naturally fits into my overall schedule. I literally can't say no. I haven't said no in just some of the most outrageous things. I just can't say no. I think there's always a way to get it done.
So, Steve, I mean, this is fascinating. I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're very successful financially, but on the other hand, I mean, obviously, what you're talking about is a beautiful thing. I always found in life, you know, folks that really do give from the heart and have that feeling inside. And when you see someone in need, and that was one of the things that, you know, when I was researching about you, I was like blown away. I said, Nick, I mean, this guy's incredible, and thank you for pointing me in the right direction. But and I asked you this, but again, any idea where that just came from inside? Because, I mean, look, everybody gets pulled in a lot of different directions, but not many people, Steve, I have to your credit, really, your blessing that you give back, that have that feeling inside. I know, obviously, you know, you had a, you know, important upbringing. Any ideas where that started? Where just like, if I see someone in need, I'm going to bend over backwards. Any idea?
I'll tell you what maybe it was, and I'll be honest with you, I've tried to think about this. I've been asked this many times, and I don't think I'm 100% sure. However, when my father died, that was back in the day when a lot of housewives just didn't work. We had two brothers. We lived in a modest home in Randolph, New Jersey. But when he died, and I think this is why I really love the business I'm in, and I'm so passionate about life insurance, and people think I'm out of my mind. They see me in the shop right to run the other way. We literally went from being okay. My mother was like, there's no money. I think an average life insurance policy back then was $10,000. And I could see the fear in her eyes. Like, what are we going to do? And I was amazed by the amount of people that came, not just to drop off food. I had several fathers in the neighborhood whisper in my ear, listen, you're going to be okay because whatever you need, we're going to do. People were so helpful. But it wasn't the helpful, like, hey, if you need me, call me. No, don't worry about driveway. We're going to take care of getting rid of the snow, and we're going to help with everything. And they did, and they never left. And so I can't say that, like that, because I wasn't like this in college at all. I don't know if I ever gave helping people a thought in college. But it was in my mind. And don't forget, you know, you also have to have the opportunity. You have to be given the opportunity to be to be asked or you have the opportunity to have a direct effect on another human being, a family, an organization. Not everybody comes across those all the time. Listen, I think there's I think there's something like 5,000 new GoFundMes started every single day. There's always GoFundMes. And you hear about maybe there's a house fire in town, right? And, oh, that's a shame. You feel bad. Everyone feels bad. But you need, there has to be that person that organizes something. Everyone wants to do something. Not everyone just is willing to organize it. They don't know how to organize it. They don't even know where to begin. I've left buckets on my front porch to raise gift cards for a family, and people, they just fill up the bucket, you know? So I don't know. I will tell you this. Once I started doing it, can I share a story with you?
Please.
So I run this Interact Club in high school. So Interact is the junior Rotary Club. There's 324,000 Interact Clubs in the world. So I wanted to start one at Roxbury High School. We've averaged 350 members a year for like 17 years. So about 7 years ago, there was a family in town, the Corrente family. I'm just going to say their name. They're awesome. And their father was going through multiple cancers, brain cancers, and he was a very well-liked guy. He was really involved in youth coaching. And we had an opportunity to do something for this family. So have you ever heard of a color run?
You were bringing it up earlier. Yeah.
Well, the color run is actually a company that'll come into a major city, and it's a for-profit thing. And they'll get 100,000 people will sign up for that at like 45 a pop. And they literally run around and they get pounded with colored powder. So I asked my club if we should try that. And we're like, okay, we're real like hesitant. We'd never done it. And I worked it out, got some guys to pay for the powder, organized the event, and it was for the Corrente family. And this is also what drove me even further into my madness of wanting to help others. Mrs. Corrente, when I approached her, asked if we could do a color run, she said, no, you know, there must be someone more deserving than us. We decided to do it for them. And to see the looks on people's faces, and she gave a little speech. The father was there. And I knew at that moment, when I saw the effect it had on them, I'm still as close as you could possibly be with that family. I will never let them go, actually. Kayla, Michael, and Carly, you know, I consider them like my children. It had such a dramatic effect on their lives. It wasn't the money. We only raised like 15 grand. But it was the support they got from the community. 800 people showed up for that run, paid 25 ahead. And that was amazing. And when I saw that, I couldn't.
Well, that's wonderful, Steve. But we're going to take a very short break and be back in 30 seconds.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to LeonardCharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Good morning again. Thank you so much for coming back with us. We have Steve Alford, which is, as I'm sure you're hearing, he's an incredible guy, and I'm blown away by his true meaning of giving and being a blessing to help others in need. Steve, I know you were talking about so many different things in the first 30-minute segment, and just wonderful. I just wanted to go back to something which just kind of struck me. It's kind of striking. You know, I know you lost your dad at such a young age, but it sounds like your dad touched a lot of lives, too, as a fire chief in Irony, and how everybody stood up and really was there for you. And I was asking about the genesis of your desire, your burning desire to really be there for others in need. Do you think perhaps because of just how your dad had treated people and how you saw firsthand when you had a crisis, the loss of your beloved dad, that you think that might have also hit a chord somewhere deep down inside where you want to be there for others?
Well, yeah, if you really tie it all together, the Don Shuld comment, if not us, then who, right? Our family found ourselves in that really bad position. Everybody knew we were hurting, right? We'd lost our father. They could have all just assumed that another neighbor was going to step up, right? And if they all assumed that and no one actually had stepped up, we would have still been in the same bad situation. But they didn't. They said, they were almost like, if not us, then who? Well, I guess it should be me. And they put themselves out there. You can't always assume that someone else is going to do it. And by the way, during the commercial break we just had, I heard about your wonderful organization for pediatric cancer. Everything doesn't have to be so grandiose either. There's a girl we're going to talk about, but she has a saying, making one person smile can change the world. Maybe not the whole world, but definitely their world. These things of helping people and being kind, they can just be making someone smile. They can literally still be letting someone go first in front of you through a door at the ShopRite. Saying hi, like I'm really into meeting these million people. And the reason is you just be able to say hi to someone. I think there's so many people that still go through their day. No one's even saying hi to them. You know, you have to be so involved in humanity and understand that helping doesn't always have to be so big.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about the D'Amico family and the ripple effect and about how being nice to one person can really affect not only that person, but others they come in contact with, and I think that's critical. I think we need a lot more of that today in our community, really throughout the state and the country, is to be there for each other, not just so focused in your own life, but just a kind gesture. As you said, doesn't have to be huge and grandiose, doesn't need to be a check, it's just a kind word. Hey, you look nice today, or how are you feeling, or, you know, hey, you seem a little sad, you know, what's up? I mean, and that's something that I think is so critically important. And you brought up about meeting a million people, which, in a little background, I was trying to understand that, because I had asked if you give me a little sneak peek on some of the things you've been up to, which is extraordinary. And this idea of meeting a million people, which is, you know, I think that's a cool idea, because obviously the more people you meet, the more things can happen, and you learn a lot more about not only those folks, but yourself. How many people have you met so far on your journey?
Well, I started it about 8 years ago. Every Friday, I keep a number in my phone, and I try to estimate about how many people I met that week. Now, because my daughter goes to Penn State and we have season tickets, I can meet 500 people on a good football weekend. I met two in your studio this morning before I met you. When you first contacted me, I think I was at 249,714. I'm at about 249,736. I think meeting people is great. Number one, I think people like to be met. You know, so many people walk around like ghosts in this world, not even acknowledging the person that's coming at them, and they're a foot away. So what is wrong with meeting them? In the beginning, it was a little self-serving, I think. You know, I need to sell something. I need to help people protect their families. I have to meet them to be able to do that. But then I started like running into people 2 years after I had originally met them. It's a great conversation starter. I can talk to furniture anyway, so why not make it people? And if I can get to a million people, which I don't really know if I can, because at this pace, I think I'm going to run out of time. I think I'm just going to die before that occurs. But just making that effort, the conscious effort to do that, it just really helps me be the best version of me I can be. To meet them, to qualify for the number, we have to introduce ourselves, and they have to give me a hello back. But usually it ends up in a much longer conversation, and some of these people end up being people that I now bring into my network. When we have those grandiose events, I can ask them if they'd like to participate, and 9 times out of 10 they do.
Well, wonderful. I mean, I think it's a great call. I think you're going to get there and then some. So just hang in there with that. I think you're well on your way. You touched a little bit about this Interact Club. And if you can just really talk a little bit more about locally in terms of Roxbury and what that's meant to you in the community, and maybe some folks that stand out in your mind with the involvement with the Interact Club, because I think that's something worthy of exploration.
Sure. So, like I mentioned earlier, I believe the Interact Club is a junior version of the Rotary Club. And then I started four other clubs. They're called Early Act Clubs. And they're in each elementary school in Roxbury, of which there's four. There's about 100 kids in each of those clubs. And I advise all that. Our sole purpose is to learn leadership skills, become better public speakers, and to do fundraising for organizations here and afar. We average 3 to 4 fundraisers or events or functions a month. It's every month of the school year. We attract all forms of students, band, drama, all the sports, people that aren't doing anything. And these kids now get an opportunity to give back without having the spotlight directly on them. However, it's run just like a Rotary Club. There's president, vice president, treasurer, secretary. The officers, all the officers we've had for the most part have gone on and done incredible things in college, not to mention that they keep that giving spirit with them. There's a college-level organization called Rotaract. They can join, and all of them join that, and they just get involved. But there's one student, if I may talk about her, Emily Mayer. This is an example of why I love Interact Club and why I think it's really important. By the way, you might be more familiar with Key Club. Key Club was very popular in high school. It still is. So Emily showed up in our first meeting as a freshman, as quiet as you could ever imagine a person being. Didn't want any attention at all. Very uncomfortable with all that. But she was attracted to it because of the good we were trying to do. And she ended up being a two-time president. She's awesome. She was probably, I'd say I've advised thousands of students in the Interact Club. She's definitely my number one favorite. She's fearless. I gave her tasks to do and run things that were completely out of her comfort zone. And I get to watch that happen. So my motto with these kids is you raise your hand to chair an event, I'm going to help you, but it's yours to sink or swim, because I think there's lessons to be learned from both. But when they're successful, boy, man, you really see it on their face. You really see it in their personality. You really see it in their attitude. Emily today, she's at college. She's heavily involved in helping others, community food banks, Rotaract Club. And she still helps me today with my stuff, and she's awesome. And I think that these kids, they just need something to grab onto. You and I were talking about all these suicides that are happening and how much of an epidemic it is. And I think a lot of kids are, you know, high school's rough, man. I mean, it's tough. There's a lot of social pressure. They just need something to grab onto, and if they have that opportunity, they will rise above. They know they're going to shine. And plus, not to mention, just watching someone shine is just so cool. It's so uplifting. I don't know how this is going to come across, but I don't get inspired very easily. I don't know why. But you know, children inspire me when they do great things. It's just so uplifting. I guess I can't describe it enough in words unless you actually see it happen. It's just unbelievable.
So for example, one of the things that I thought was beautiful about what you just talked about and some of the other guests is the kids, role models, mentors, things that change their trajectory in life. I'm a big believer, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir with you, is get young people involved early so they see the benefit and the beauty of giving back and helping others and how that changes their life. Because I agree with you, nothing's better than, you know, lending a hand up and seeing someone's reaction, because they're getting something out of it, but you're also getting something out of it because you see the joy you're bringing to someone else's life. And I think the earlier you're exposed to that, the better. You know, I think of my late parents, and I saw how beautiful and wonderful they were to others, and I was like, I could just see how they were helping people. And I knew also, being very blessed and fortunate, I wanted to try to do that and do the best I can. And now that I'm blessed with young boys, I want to be a model for them to continue, hopefully, to make them proud as they get older. And I'm sure with your children as well, what you've been doing. The Interact Club sounds really an amazing program. You mentioned this, Emily. Sounds like an extraordinarily extraordinary young lady, and so many other people you have come in contact with. But you've mentored as well, which I think is invaluable. You know, some naysayers say, oh, this generation now, the youngsters, they don't get it. I don't believe that for a second. I think there's extraordinary kids out there now. I know we talked about the sad situation with teen suicide, and I think that the everyone together, not just the adults but the kids, the students, we all should come together and figure it out, you know, what we can do to help each other out, in terms of, because we all kind of know when people are down and upset or sad or just need to, like, someone to talk to. You know, everybody wants to fit in, but everybody's different and unique. That's, you know, some people say I'm a little bit out there in left field somewhere, but that's okay. I just do my thing, run my rates, and everybody's got to run their rates and whatever's best for them. But we all are really in this together, and I think it's great, everything you're doing to help the young kids out. Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about mentorship for a second, if I can. I think people have mentoring a little bit wrong, in my opinion. There are formal mentor programs. Students, kids, they can ask to be given a mentor. You have mentors in your life, I'm sure. I think mentoring, though, needs to be a much more natural thing. I don't think it needs to be formal. Listen, if you developed a bond with a student or a kid or anybody, you can be a mentor. You're just mentoring them. They might like the things you do, and you know they like the things you do, and they're trying to mimic that. You're a mentor, right? I don't think a lot of people would ask for a mentor. Like, what kid's going to say, hey, can you mentor me? Like, I've never heard that. I know I've been a mentor to many, many kids. And I think people just should to try to tie everything together. Be kind. Be nice. Go out of your way to form relationships, which in my case is meeting a million people. Kids count, too. Stay in touch with them. Be interested in what they do. You don't know if that child that you're talking to is depressed. You just don't know. So just by being kind and being nice and being involved, you're a mentor. You're a mentor.
No question. Steve, once again, for those that are listening, if they want to reach you in the Rotary Club right here in Roxbury, how would they do it?
Either show up at La Strada at 12:15 on any Thursday and ask for me by name, or go to our Facebook page, Roxbury Rotary Club, and you can leave a comment. You can ask any question you want. Start following us and see the stuff we do. And maybe you don't want to join the club, but you'd like to be involved, and you live or work in the town of Roxbury, which is a rule in Rotary. You need to work or live in the town of the club. And by the way, there's a Rotary Club. There's a Rotary Club Amendum. They're all over the place. You might just be that. We have people like this as well. Hey, I don't have time to join because I don't have discretionary time to leave my job. But when you have a function on a Saturday, please let me know, and I'd like to help. We do a fruit sale every year. We have 6 or 7 individuals that the only time we see them every year is they come to that event, and they help us load the fruit into cars, and that's their way of giving back. That's their way of helping out, because they know the money we're raising is going to go to high school scholarships and the Roxbury Social Services, whatever the case may be.
Right, and that's another thing you touched on. I mean, there's so many ways to help out. It could simply be, like you said, just loading something in a truck or out of a truck, or being nice to someone, or obviously being there to organize or participate. But there's a zillion things you can do to help
someone. A zillion.
It's like countless. You could go on and on and on. So for those listening, I mean, if you're thinking about getting off the sidelines and getting involved, just that small step forward can make a huge difference, not just in your life, but many others. And I think, Stephen, you know, I find, you know, obviously meeting you today, you're very enthusiastic and very passionate, very caring. And that becomes infectious as well, in a good way, though. It's a good infection. It's something that when you're around people that are motivated and really feel that spirit, it is contagious. I think that's a beautiful thing. You know, I also learned that you got a prestigious award, the President's Volunteer Service Award, through the Caring Neighbors Network. What was that about?
I got the award. It was really cool. I have a nice little lapel pin with the presidential seal on it, you know, the wings, eagle wings. I wear it with pride. I'm not sure. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I do so many things. I have no idea what combination of things that was for. I just thought it was cool to get. I think there's so many people that are probably deserving of that award. I was nominated by somebody who, it was probably for the first color run we did, maybe. And I don't know. It was cool. I wish I knew exactly what it was for. I think it was just a combination of things. But I think there's a lot of people that are deserving. I know there's a lot of people like me.
You know, I mean, it's obviously very, very well deserving. I mean, the things you do for the community is really incredible. I'm good friends with Janet Wald at Roxbury Social Service, a wonderful lady, and, you know, I try to help her too as best I can. And I know Chief Palanchi is a great guy, you know, great leader, a tremendous chief of police in Roxbury, and I know you have some wonderful folks. I was just curious, so you guys go to La Strada, you know, you hang out, you talk, you know, you try to help the community out. And you were touching on this a little bit earlier. I mean, you come in contact with a lot of different folks, all different walks of life. Am I correct?
Correct.
Right, and I guess that's the beauty of an organization's a diverse membership, and I think that that's important for everyone listening. I mean, whatever program, whatever group you want to get involved in, whatever turns you on, I mean, that's kind of like the way life's mystery is, right? So somebody listening could be like Roxbury Rotary Club or the Rotary Club at Bendermere, Mount Arlington, wherever it might be. There's so many different organizations out there to give back. Am I right?
Yeah, and I'll give you an example to your listeners of just what you, I think what you mean by that. So every new person we bring into Rotary has their own passions. When I joined, I was really into helping children, and I found out about this dictionary. This is something called the Dictionary Project, where they give a dictionary to every third grader in town. And I brought it to my club, and I said I wanted to do it. We've been doing it for 16 years. So for 16 years, I've given a dictionary in October to every third grader in town, including the American Christian School in St. Therese. And we do a whole program, and it's wonderful to see how excited they get over a dictionary. Now, think about that. I've been doing it for 16 years. Some of the original people I gave the dictionary to are now my clients. They're married. You know, they have jobs. But someone listening might have an idea that we haven't done yet. And we'll take it on, and it might be wildly successful and touch a lot of people. That project, we give out about 600 dictionaries a year. It costs $1.75. We fundraise. You know, our Rotary Club has a budget. We have predetermined things we want to fund. That's a lot of people to touch. And they're excited. And maybe they're going to learn to read a little bit better or write a little bit better. You know, they send us thank you notes. It's a wild experience, and we read them at our club. And at least for that year in third grade, we impacted their lives in a positive way. Very small financial commitment, but grandiose gesture.
No, it sounds like a great idea. I mean, obviously, learning is critical, and especially touching young kids, the third grade students. You know, as you talked about, as they get older, they have that legacy of having that really nice thing done for their benefit, and I'm sure they want to pay it forward as well. In terms of your involvement in all these different organizations and things that you're trying to do to help the community out, you know, I was reading a little more about the Rotary Club, and they had a few really cool mottos and mantra. I just wanted to kind of get your sense of it. So it almost sounds like a quiz show, but it's not. There's no wrong answers.
Okay.
But in one of the mottos of the Rotary Club was, "He profits most who serves best." What does that mean to you?
Well, are you familiar with BNI?
What is that?
BNI, the networking group?
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar, of course.
I believe their motto is givers give. It's along those lines. Like at Christmas, sometimes it's so much funner to see a reaction of a gift you've given than your reaction to a gift you've received. So our whole motto is that, in a sense. You know, there's so much joy and satisfaction from helping others, and we profit most by doing that, not by helping ourselves. You know, the other big motto is service above self, and it literally is. You have to, you know, you're giving of yourself over and above all the time to help others. You're sacrificing some on your end to help others not sacrifice as much.
Right. I mean, these are beautiful, obviously, mottos, but there's so much, you know, meaning behind it. And the other one that I read, which was, you know, I thought great, is, "It's business is mankind." What does that mean to you?
Is business mankind?
Yeah.
Well, so vocation is a big part of Rotary, and we're supposed to use our personal vocations to help others. And we have all different vocations in there. There'd be veterinarians, pharmacists. I'm a financial advisor. So obviously, you know, I can help people in need, not by selling them things, by guiding them through my vocation. And I think that's what the term means. But one thing that you might not have in your notes, so every Rotarian lives their lives by a four-way test. And all the Interact kids try to live their lives this way. And I'm just going to say it to you now. And if you think about it, and the listeners think about it, if everyone just, everything they did, they put it to this test, nobody could go wrong. Is it the truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? It'll be beneficial to all concerned. If you follow that test with everything you're about to do or thinking about doing, if it meets that criteria, then everything's perfect. And that's how we try to live our lives. And, you know, if you listen to it, you know, it will be beneficial to all concerned. It's just, the Rotary way. It's a very integrous way to live your life.
So, in other words, your involvement with the Rotary Club has brought so many different wonderful attributes and focus for what you're trying to achieve in life. Because, I mean, obviously, you want to try to make the world a better place. And, I mean, you're a prime example of trying to carry on a legacy and tradition and helping others as well. You know, I touched on a little bit earlier with your kids, which is obviously beyond a blessing for you. And I love just trying to understand, because I think this really, you know, is critical for the parents listening about how you impact your kids' lives, because they watch, you know, dad or mom and see what they're doing. And everybody, I think everyone should at least ideally look up to your parents and respect what they're trying to do. So what impact do you think your tremendous service to the community has for your kids?
I can tell you exactly. So my kids are the kind of kids I could do a great event, Color Run, raised $20,000. I come home. How was it? It was okay. But I know they brag about me to their kids, to their friends. My oldest daughter, Alex, she cannot see bad in any human being. It could be the worst human being in history. Nah, come on, give them a chance, you know? I see how they are. They're kind people. Maybe they're not doing things to the extent that I'm doing them, but they're busy in their lives, and I'm pretty confident someday they will, but I know they're really proud of what I do. I know they are. And every once in a while, they'll leave me a note, or they'll say something to me. And I think it has impacted them just to be kinder, gentler people.
You know, the thing I was talking about with some of the guests, you know, we're Morris County folks, obviously. I mean, you're raising your family in Morris County, myself as well. And even though there's tremendous, wealth and success, like every other county, we still have our problems and issues, and people go hungry, or people have various issues in their life, and they need a helping hand up. What are your thoughts about, you know, people that are thinking about maybe getting involved, but haven't done it yet? Any kind of words of encouragement or advice?
Sure. Pick an organization. Pick a cause. Roxbury, if you're in Roxbury, Roxbury Social Services, the public library, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, pick a cause. Maybe determine a number in your head that you're willing to part with to help them, whether it be through time or money. One of the examples I like to give, because I think people blow this off, every Boy Scout troop does a pancake breakfast. We always see the ads for it, right? You see the signs. I myself blow off so many, but I always try to go to one or two a year. Could I get better pancakes somewhere else? Yes, but that $8, they need that money. It's going somewhere. And they're excited to do it. The Boy Scouts are running around giving you the syrup and the butter, and they're excited, and they put a lot of time and effort into it. You know, all these things that are done, people are putting time and effort into them to try to help someone else. They're not self-serving. And I think if you just make a commitment to do one this year, start with one. You're going to commit to going to somebody's pancake breakfast. You will leave feeling really good. Go to one of these car washes you see where the girls lacrosse team is doing a car wash. They kind of need that money, or they wouldn't be. They don't even like doing it, these kids. Yeah, like, oh my God, they got to work this shift. They're out of their minds, but they need the money. Just go. Just stop. Just take a second. Go get your car washed. Do something.
So, you know, I was talking on the last show about the New Year's resolution. Everybody has resolutions. You know, it's 2020 now, and people think about, oh, I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. But I also said, you know, you got to think about giving back. You got to make a resolution to give more freely from the heart, to help others in need, to, as you just touched on, Steve, join something. Just do something to help others, and go back to Christy Amico's wonderful, beautiful words, the ripple effect, and how that would obviously make your life so much better, but help so many others in the process as well. In terms of, you know, the area, the charity you're involved in, the Roxbury Rotary, and you know, you have your fingertips on the pulse, if I may, because I mean, you've been giving back 18 years with the Rotary Club in Roxbury, and you're raising your kids, and you know the community. What are the current needs that you're seeing through the Rotary Club in Roxbury?
The need that's ongoing is the Roxbury Social Services. I think, according to Janet, because I'm really friendly with her as well, I think they serve 300-plus families just in the town of Roxbury. And there's housing needs, there's food needs, there's clothing needs, there's money to pay for oil, you know, for heat, gas, whatever. That's an ongoing need. You could just take a weekend, clean out your closets, go make a run over there on a Sunday morning or Wednesday afternoon. They have throngs of volunteers giving their time just to accept your goods. And even that, that's going to go help a family. Maybe it's jackets in the winter, backpacks at the start of school. All that stuff helps. It all adds up. I told you the story about what I tell these kids. If you could solve world peace by moving 100,000 chairs from one side of the building to the other, would you do it? Everybody says yes. How long will it take you? I don't know, a year. All right, if you got 10 friends, would it be quicker? Yeah. If they each got 10 friends, would it be even quicker? So on and so on. All these little things add up, and they make the impossible task maybe of raising and, you know, collecting enough food for these 300 families to actually being possible. And it works. Somehow it works.
Yeah, you know, you touched on something too. A lot of folks near the end of the year, the new year, they clean out their closets. They got basically stuff they never even wore. I know there's some rules. If you haven't worn it in a few years, just donate it or whatever, because you're obviously not going to wear it. But in Roxbury, the incredible work that Janet does and the folks with the Roxbury Social Services, really throughout the county, contact your local social services and donate. I mean, you know, make an appointment and drop off your clothing, your hats, your gloves, whatever you have that you're not using, because, I mean, folks really need it. I know Janet, I'm good friends with her, too, and she was telling me a story last time around winter time that somebody was going to be, you know, sleeping in their car. I'm like, well, we can't have someone sleep in their car. So, you know, I made a modest donation and make sure they had a place to stay, because, you know, obviously we're in this together. And I think people like you, Steve, really are what it's all about, is to really help others and everything you've done. I have in my notes, and I got to ask you before we part, I got a picture. I mean, you're a handsome devil, but I have to tell you, I mean, you're dressed as a leprechaun. Let me just show you this picture.
I'm very familiar with the picture, Ty.
I was like, you know, I would be upset with myself driving home if I didn't ask you about the leprechaun. So,
sure.
What was that all about?
I can't say no. I just can't say no. So Kennedy School contacted me and said, hey, we got this great idea for a fundraiser. They do St. Baldrick's Day where they shave the heads of the kids that raise money. Would you dress as a leprechaun and come take pictures of them for $1? And we're going to donate that money. And I went and bought a leprechaun costume, and this is the third year I just did it. And I go, and the kids go nuts. This year I came with little gold coins that leprechauns give. And I sit there and take pictures with them, and they go nuts, and I feel tremendous, and I keep the outfit on the whole day.
Wonderful. And once again, Stephen, God bless you and everything you're doing. I'm so proud you joined us today. You're an incredible person. Keep on being a blessing. You're going to meet more than a million people, and you've certainly touched my heart with your giving back. Everyone, I just want to wish you an incredible rest of this weekend. Remember, we're in this together. Lend a hand up, and never forget, one kind gesture can change the world. God bless you. We'll speak to you next Sunday. Take care.